Hi, everyone. Joining me today are actually two people who don't really even need an introduction, but you know what? I'll still do one. So first, Danielle LaRocca. She's an SAP mentor. She's a SAP SuccessFactors confidant, ASUG volunteer, who works at EpiUse Labs, where they help build cool things for SAP SuccessFactors customers. And then AJ, who's a colleague of mine, super busy these days. He's leading our messaging and go-to-market around AI, which is obviously very front and center on everyone's minds these days, and a key part of Success Connect, which we're here to talk about today. So this is the first time I have two people on the podcast at once, so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully we're not talking over each other. So actually, speaking of not needing an introduction, I got a funny story. We were at Success Connect. Danielle, I think you were there as well. And so the three of us were there, and we were sitting there, and I actually hear AJ introducing himself to someone. Didn't think too much of it. And I think it might have been like Mike Tim, or Mike was in the room, and he was like, huh, I think that's the first time I've ever heard AJ introduce himself to someone.
I'm kind of like the furniture. I'm always there.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, I was like, at first I thought he was being kind of outlandish, but then I started thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, you know what? At one of these conferences, I don't know if I've ever heard AJ introduce himself, even on like internal SAP calls. You know, I don't really hear AJ introduce him. Like, yeah, I've known that person for about 10 years. So, yeah.
That is the nicest way anyone has ever called me old.
Experienced.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So thanks for taking the time, AJ and Danielle. So we'll jump right into it. The theme of this is Success Connect, right? And I think the underlying theme at Success Connect was ignite your workforce potential. I think that was the messaging. And there were 7 tracks of content, a keynote, a lot of networking, much more. Mentioned it earlier, but AI was very front and center too. So it was a super, super busy few days. Had a lot of fun in Vegas. I'll start with you, Danielle. So what were some of the big announcements or takeaways that you heard on your side?
Well, first, just want to say I loved your recap blog. It really was the best one out there. You hit on every point that was interesting.
Second best,
of course. Well, mine was only a page. Yours was like 40 pages. So I think I have to bend the knee on that one. So key announcements. I also wanted to say that what I liked about the keynote, and I don't think it used to be this way, but it seemed like it was short little bursts of content. So it was... it kept me interested the whole time. There was never a time where I felt like somebody was droning on. So I guess that's the whole post-COVID thing. Our attention span is even shorter than it used to be. So I liked how they kept switching from one thing to another. But I'll pick the easy one, AI. It seems like it's real. For many years, it really seemed like it was like theoretical. People were talking around it. And now it's actually here and embedded into everything. So I think it was Aaron who said they put it into every different piece of human experience management. And I thought that was really exciting. I know that it's scary for a lot of people. And my friends outside of technology always ask me if I'm scared of AI taking my job or the robots taking over. But then I think about, there was a quote this guy said at Sapphire earlier this year. I'm probably going to get his name wrong, but it's Vin Vashita or something. And he said he's been working on AI for a long time. And he said something like, AI is not going to replace you, but someone who knows AI might. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Right. Yeah, I think that's pretty insightful of, you know, you have to be able to know how to use this technology, right? So for sure. All right, AJ, I know she probably took your answer, but
I'm a little biased. What I was going to do is come in here for this segment. I was just going to read your blog to the audience, but I figured that was a little too lazy from.
Mine or hers, though? Mine or hers?
Well, it depends. I mean, who was nicer to me? So that's all. No, like, I think obviously from my perspective, because I cover AI and BTP and extensibility and things like that. So my answer is going to be focused on those areas because it's what I do. But Danielle's right. I mean, AI was everywhere. And I forget who said it in the recap that or maybe it was Meg Bear said, you know, if it'd be shocking if AI wasn't mentioned somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
You know, I thought that was fantastic. I love the segments with Josh Burson in the keynote and then having customers like Delta Airlines up there talking about their experiences. But, you know, my personal bias makes me look at AI first and foremost. And we had, from an AI perspective, we had this story around our generative AI use cases that are being rolled out, you know, creating job descriptions and creating personalized learning recommendations and things like that. We had kind of the big coming out party for Joule, which is, you know, whatever you want to call it. We call it a co-pilot, but, you know, some people, for a long time, we were calling it digital assistant. And it's really kind of cool to see the reaction to people from that technology, because I didn't get, you know, that whole, hey, I'm scared of AI, it's going to take my job. I got a lot of, hey, this is cool. Do you realize the potential for this? And then the conversations I had with people were more around, you know what, this could probably do this, and this could do this, and this, you know, and people are starting to see use cases that we probably won't even have out in the market for a long time, but they're starting to see the potential, which was the biggest change, where it wasn't just talk anymore. We were able to show things that we're doing, and whether the functionality is coming out next month or next year, there's a lot of good stuff coming. And I don't want to give the short answer to Talent Intelligence Hub, because that was a really big part of this event as well, is, you know, what's kind of essentially that AI, called AI powered engine for a company's learning and talent strategy. It's really cool what the work they're doing there. And that's part of, Danielle, what you said, what Aaron was talking about, where AI is being embedded everywhere across the suite. And I think Talent Intelligence Hub is kind of the star of that show when it comes to that. So there was a lot of good stuff at the event, but, you know, my personal bias made me focus on AI.
Yeah. And you, for me, I thought the whole Joule thing was super cool, right? And it changes how people interact with the system, right? And so now you can do things by just simply asking a question, right? I think I saw a video or, you know, some of the demos showing, oh, I want to hire someone, right? And be able to do that, get the prompts back from that. Do you want to start from XYZ place? And it just made that super simple. So I don't need to know where to go in SuccessFactors, where to click, what to do. You know, it's just conversational. I thought that use case was super cool on my side.
I liked that create a position one. Sorry, AJ. Did you see that one? Do you remember in the old days when you had to create a position, you had to go to like org management and make all the details there and then go hire somebody? The Joule example I saw was they said, all right, create a position similar to this one. I was like blown away.
I don't have to go to PPOME anymore.
PPOME, yes. The chief. Don't we all joke about the chief and the hat?
the red hat on the chief. It's amazing. No matter how many years pass, I still remember the transaction codes. But you're right. A lot of things like that, and that's where some of the value is going to come in to these AI use cases. Isn't just like, hey, this is cool technology, but is what are we doing that's more efficient, that is more accurate, that, you know, so our people aren't spending all the time doing those tedious tasks. So that the position creation is one of the use cases that we have rolling out in early 24 is going to be a good one. So yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I saw the other use case that Chris Payne had posted about. I think he also did a podcast with John from Diginomica, and he talked about actually going and directly playing around with this. Right. So
yeah.
And he was doing it of like a performance goal, right? And he's like, well, I want to have a performance goal for building a BTP application. So help me come up with a goal for this. And so not only did it help give the steps of, hey, you should go do XYZ, it knew what BTP was, it knew the context of that. And then, you know, I think it gave him all the steps of how to kind of accomplish this. And he mentioned at the end, it was like, it even offered a recommendation, like, hey, maybe you should put this on the SAP store, right? So that context is just like super cool. And, you know, if you impress Chris, you know you're doing something right, too.
That's true.
If you can keep him silent, you're really doing something right.
It's easy to pick on him when he's not here, Danielle.
Absolutely.
I'll love for him. You know, he does a lot for the community. All right. So, you know, that covers a lot of the main announcements on the main stage, too. But what about at the breakout session level? Danielle, I know you attended many sessions. You run around all over the place. What are some of the things that you saw or heard that had you most excited kind of at that level?
I liked Daniela Lang's. She did one on cross-system workflow, which was pretty interesting. And it was just targeted toward the hybrid audience. And basically it's on message with SAP in terms of getting customers to move from on-premise to the cloud and SAP agreeing to make it easier to do so. I liked that one, but I really liked the, I'm going to say his name wrong, Soren Hobie, Hanby, Harby?
Can't help you there. I don't know.
Soren. Soren had a great session, but he was talking about people analytics and Datasphere, which used to be that SAP data warehouse cloud. And the way that he explained it to the audience was really, really well done. So usually these topics get very technical real quick, as I'm sure AI AJ knows with AI.
Just start calling me AI.
But the way that he explained it, I liked it. It was almost like real world. So he was talking about reporting and he said, you know, even in SAP, anyone who's ever tried to make a headcount knows it's not easy to do because of effective dating and the way things work. And he said, right. What a lot of customers do is they dump everything in like Excel or Access and they manipulate it and then report on it. And the way that he positioned Datasphere as that place where that manipulation occurs was like an aha moment for a lot of people. It wasn't just this, you know, what is this tool? What does it do? It's where you transform the data so it makes sense so you could use it in other places in the organization. I think he really did a good job of explaining what that was. I saw a lot of heads nodding, and you don't get that a lot with reporting. People usually, you know, zone out when you start talking about analytics cloud and API interfaces, but he made it very clear where that fits in the ecosphere and why it's important for customers.
Yeah, it's always hard to get away from Excel sort and filter, right?
But even the days of, do you remember when you used to like take data and then if it had a leading zero, it dropped off all the leading zeros, and then you had to format it to a text field, all these, you know, pain points everybody who's ever played with data goes through, or losing the date formatting.
Yeah, all of that
stuff is no longer a concern if you have one place to put all of your data and put it in a transformation stage that's repeatable, that you can use continually to process your data through. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, cross-system workflow, that's another one that I think is important, because, you know, we do have a lot of customers that are in that hybrid environment where they're, you know, live with Employee Central, but they might still have on-prem payroll. I think what this is helping with is really that process integration, right? Not just data integration, you know, because I think anyone can do that, of getting data from point A to point B, but how do we put a process around this when you have that kind of hybrid environment? So I know our product team has done a lot of work to make that easier for customers that are in that environment. So I think that was a good call out. I'm not going to hold it against you that you didn't take my session for one, but I'll joke.
I thought that'd be too easy, and I thought that's what AJ would do.
Low-hanging fruit.
Well, AJ was super busy, so I don't think he could attend my session. So I'm not going to hold it against you, AJ, but I know you're presenting a lot of sessions. I know you're running around all over the place. Tell us about that. I know if you want to talk about your sessions and the customer sessions. You know, how did that go?
Well, I mean, from my session perspective, I didn't want to talk a lot about that, but I did I hosted a panel with Google Cloud. So Dr. Ali Arsanjani from Google Cloud and Rule Stallman, who is our chief technology officer. And we talked about the partnership of Google and SAP and the work that we're doing, you know, kind of under the covers from an AI perspective to really work on skills intelligence and the skills ontology and all of the engines underneath. So that was pretty cool, because we don't talk a lot about what's in development today. We tend to talk about the stuff that you see in releases, but there's so much work going on with our partners behind the scenes. So I had fun doing that. That was kind of a cool session. You know, we had Microsoft go up and talk about their use of AI in HR, and that session was phenomenally packed. I mean, it was, sure. I think there's 100 seats in that theater. I think they said there were 200 and something people that were there.
I heard about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And that was a great session as well. But I think I always look at the customer sessions, because to me, I want to hear what the customers are doing with the technology, because I mean, around you and I talk every day, we talk about the product ourselves, but you know, the Starbucks session was fantastic. And, you know, if you look at where I spend my days, it's, you know, outside of AI, but BTP, extensibility, and Starbucks does such a great job of using SuccessFactors and SAP technology to improve employee experience, to kind of increase employee retention. And what they're doing in this session, what they talked about is they're in the process of doing is building an app using BTP that brings data together for their employees. They refer to their employees as partners. That's the term they use for all their retail and deskless workers. So for their partners, about all of their benefits and perks and things like 401k and stock options and things like that into a single place, because what they realized was a lot of their employees didn't know everything they were eligible for, or if there was something like a stock option grant that had to be executed by a certain date, a lot of times they wouldn't do it by that date and then they would miss it. And there were things that they weren't taking advantage of that they weren't aware of, because these are retail workers. They're not sitting in front of the computer all day where they get all these emails and reminders. Right. And so they created this app that really is unique, because it pulls data from a lot of different sources. It pulls in, 401k data from Fidelity, and it pulls in all this stuff. And it's not used to execute benefits. It's not like it's replacing any functionality from that SuccessFactors offers. It is to communicate to the employees what they have and what they don't know about. And they, they found a lot of those things were going unclaimed, which creates a problem for the employees. It might decrease your retention, but it also creates accounting problems for the company if you're creating stock options that you've got in the books and now you've got to go back and pull them back. So it creates a lot of work for everyone. And I think by integrating data across all of those third parties and Fidelity and SuccessFactors, they give some real-time updates, some really cool stuff. So they've done a really nice job with that there. And they're tracking metrics around turnover, and they're tracking all the stuff, how this is going to impact their organization. So that was one of the sessions that really stood out to me, because I love hearing stories of how customers are using BTP to extend SuccessFactors. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always mean that there's a gap in functionality. It means they're building something that's going to help them improve their business based on their business model. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Mm. Yeah. So, and I think to me that's the crux of like HXM, right? How can we use technology to help make things easier for our employees, right? Now, I've been there too before, right? Like sometimes you don't realize these benefits, and then when you find out afterwards that something's expired, there's a little bit of bitterness. Oh man, I wish I used that, right? And so if you can avoid it, that makes a big difference in the employee's relationship with the employer. So I actually couldn't attend that session, but I think that was a great overview. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, and we hope to do more with them around that story, as they roll this out, because I think it's a really good example of extensibility, really positive story about extensibility, and BTP. And again with BTP, because there's so much that customers can do with it,
of course,
and to put it into a practical use case like that they'll understand is great.
Yeah, for sure. I think the more practical you make it, then the more people will understand it, and they're like, you know what, that actually will work for me, because every industry has their specifics, right? We do things XYZ way, and that doesn't really fit in traditional HR or whatever you might be doing, right?
Yeah, and there were other stories there which I won't go into detail on, but Capgemini talked about their use of BTP to extend their solution during their transformation project, and then Porto, which is a company from Brazil, talked about using BTP to extend performance and goals. So there's all different ways that it can happen, and I think that's where I get excited, is hearing those examples, because each one is different and it's not necessarily what SuccessFactors is doing. It's what the customer is doing with that technology.
Yeah, exactly. Once again, I think that's the exact, like, where HXM fits, right? Looking beyond that and focusing on that employee experience. So, mm-hmm. All right. I know you have,
Imran, can I add one note on that?
Of course.
One of the things that was mentioned at the partner event, I don't remember if it was Marianne or someone else, but they said SAP SuccessFactors is not intending to build every different type of technology, and they're relying on their community of partners to assist with that. Mm-hmm. And it's making it easy to be extensible and to integrate with these different solutions. That I like that they said that out loud. That they're saying, we know we're not going to build everything that there is to build, and we know that there are people out there who are going to do a really good job with it, and they've just made it easier to integrate with these BTP and the extensibility. So that was a good takeaway as a partner.
And I think, it's sure. Adding on to that, and not to make this into an extensibility podcast, but sorry, I'm kind of taking over. extensibility used to be kind of a dirty word, because it people inferred it meant that we weren't delivering what needed to be delivered. And I think if you, that's not the case. If you look at, we're giving all this functionality, but we're also providing the platform that allows you to do what you need to do to improve your business, to transform, to do whatever. That's what's really cool about these stories. And I think I'm happy to see extensibility becoming something that's a little more mainstream and accepted and not seen as, oh, you've got to, you have to do this to, because that answer is not in the software, but instead we use this and we can get X benefit or X value out of doing this too. And that's the biggest difference.
No doubt about it. I mean, you know, that's the whole purpose of really platform as a service, right? It allows people that have an idea to come up with something really, really cool and not have to go and do something that, you know, back in the day, if I had wanted to come up with an idea to extend some on-premise software, I would have to go and, you know, buy the infrastructure. I would have to, you know, almost write all of the code from scratch. Whereas here, that's not the case, right? You already have a platform for, okay, I can get the analytics, I can get the integration, and I have this platform that will help me be successful in that. So, you know, I agree. I don't think, you know, I think partners have never been more important, and we're seeing a lot of innovation that comes as a result of that. And, you know, one vendor, even one as large as SAP, can't do everything themselves. So yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I did a session on process automation using BTP as well. And one of the stories that I told, we actually demoed this use case in our integration extensibility demo pod on the floor at Success Connect. But it was taking kind of the whole BTP platform. We started with Signavio to kind of analyze business processes and to look for bottlenecks. And what we did was we took kind of the new hire onboarding process and we automated some of the external things that happened during that process. So we didn't touch the SuccessFactors functionality, but when you hire somebody, you know, maybe you've got to order a new laptop for that person, or you've got to create a ticket to give them network security access in a certain way, or you've got to have all these different things done, or you need certain approval paths set up. So we set up these process automations that really did that process and created a ticket in this service system to create the security for their network access. And it created a purchase order in Ariba automatically based on their job and based on the approvals and all of that. And it was a great use of end-to-end, starting with Signavio to find the bottlenecks in the process, using integration suite in BTP, using business process automation in BTP, and, you know, using SuccessFactors technology as it's delivered. And it was a really cool example. So that's something that I, you know, just wanted to mention. That's the kind of stuff I want to see more of that customers are doing. And we had a really good response at that demo pod from people who came up and saw it, because I think they start to understand how the platform can help them.
Yeah, I think we'll see more of that. So, all right, cool. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about some of the interactions, right? I think both of you know a lot of customers, work with a lot of customers. You talk to other partners, you know, involved with the whole SuccessFactors Confidant program as well. So what were some of the topics of conversation, or was there anything that stood out to you that was super interesting that you might have heard? Danielle, I'll start with you.
I liked all the transparency on the next-gen payroll stuff. So
SuccessFactors payroll, right?
Which has a new name, which has an official name. It is SAP SuccessFactors payroll, which I think is a good name. And that was even part of the conversations that I had with customers and colleagues and stuff. But what I liked about those conversations, it seemed like in the past, it used to be like a whispered conversation to talk about next gen payroll. It was something that was coming. We weren't talking about it too much. But even in Daniela's session, and I think in your roadmap session with Pepine, you were completely transparent. You said, look, this is something we're building. We continue to innovate. Took us a long time to build the one that we have now. And then you actually shared, you know, where it's happening in the UK, what they're doing, who the target customers are. And what I thought was interesting is it said, this is great that it's innovation, but it shouldn't slow down what everybody is being tasked to do, which is to innovate today. And I saw this quote from Brandon Toombs, a confidant, one of my favorite. He also had a pretty good blog. I'll put his in third place.
I'll share all that.
But he said something along the lines of, you know, customers keep hearing about next-gen payroll, and they're wondering if they should sit around and wait for it. And he said, think of next-gen payroll or SAP SuccessFactors payroll like your favorite sports team, and they're building a new arena. It's something to get excited about, but it shouldn't prevent you from buying season tickets to the games and cheering on the squad. And I thought that was such a clever way to explain it. Next-gen payroll, I got to get used to the new name. SAP SuccessFactors payroll is not coming for the masses anytime soon. I'm excited that they're working on innovation. I'm excited that Ebius is involved in it. It's just not for everybody, and everybody should be following the path that's laid out, which is doing what's best for them. And in a lot of cases, that's SAP SuccessFactors Employee Central payroll.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, like, I know we have been talking about it for a number of years, but, you know, part of it is in the early phases of this, you don't know what you don't know, right? And so you want to be kind of careful about it. And so maybe that's somewhat why, you know, it was more whispered. But now that we're getting more clarity and we're understanding our target market, and a lot of, you know, when we roll this out, it's not overlapping with our Employee Central payroll. So the target market's not going to be for our existing install base of on-prem customers, right? So just getting a little more clarity on our side, you know, comes with, okay, now we're a little further down the road, and we can talk about these things, understand it, and, you know, kind of roll our plan out there, right? And so, yeah, I enjoyed the conversations that we had around there, and I think there's a lot of excitement to come in the space. But, you know, like Employee Central payroll, that's still the gold standard for enterprise payroll, for complex payroll, right? You know, we win deals because of that, right? And, you know, it can accomplish things that almost no other payroll system on the market can in some cases, and we consistently hear that. So, you know, it's just as much from our side about being realistic and understanding that, you know, we're going to have multiple payroll solutions in market. So, yeah, I know there was a lot of excitement around that, and we're super, super excited about it too. So, yeah, definitely. AJ, how about you? What were some of your interactions?
Well, I mean, one of the things that I heard from Josh Burson was his commentary about innovation and success factors. It's really important to listen to people like Josh because he's so deeply knowledgeable about the industry and all the players. And when he does a comparison, he talks about these. It's so true. So when he says that we at SAP are kind of at the forefront of innovation, or our approach to AI and intelligent technologies on target, it says a lot. And I think that's what we were hearing, is that we are further down the road than our competitors. We're doing things in the right way. And I also think it was good for me in conversations I had with people to get acknowledgement that all of the work that we've been doing at SAP kind of behind the scenes, all of what I call the housekeeping and plumbing work, in recent years, because there's been a lot of things that are going on that a lot of customers aren't aware of, and some they start to learn, but it's all starting to pay dividends because it's giving us that huge, strong foundation for innovation. So I think what you're seeing is faster innovation, and you're going to see that going forward. And I had more than one person say that now they understood why we've been working so hard in so many things behind the scenes, you know, like data center migrations and other projects, because it does speed the innovation. So that was kind of cool to hear that from different customers, that they're starting to see that. I think for a while, customers were thinking, you know, where's the innovation? What are we doing? And now they go, oh, you were setting the stage to, you know, to make it faster and better. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. I definitely heard Siva talk about that a little bit too, about, you know, you have to prep these things, and, you know, a lot of the operational things that you don't see or, you know, don't necessarily make it to a roadmap. So I think that was definitely a good point there. All right. So last question, I think, no promises on that. Tell me, what was the most fun thing at the conference for you, Danielle?
Let's dispel the myth that these conferences are all fun. They are a lot of work. I saw the both of you guys running around giving sessions, managing customers, managing executives. So even though I don't work for SAP as a partner being there, there are a lot of people to meet, a lot of customers to check in on, and a lot to consume. I mean, just the roadmap sessions that talk about the future of the products that I care about, I need to learn all of that, digest it, and make sure that I share it with anybody I work with who wasn't fortunate enough to go in person. So there's definitely a lot of work that goes into these events. I know that people get the impression that we're in Vegas and we're all just having a great time, and that it's one large fashion show between you and Todd and Aaron. And AJ's got to up his sneaker game immediately.
I'll never be in that category.
I don't know. But, AJ, I saw your Adidas. They're pretty good looking Adidas. I like those.
My Stan
Adidas.
Adidas.
Ah, sorry. Yeah.
But it was nice to spend time with everybody. I love spending time with the rest of the confidants. There are some really smart people. You were joking before about Chris, but that whole group of confidants, and I'm not going to name them because I'll miss somebody, but they bring so much value to the community, and I learned so much from them. So that spending time with them and folks like yourselves was the best part for me.
I appreciate that. And yeah, I agree. That's a great group. And, you know, I learn a lot just from sitting there, even listening, right? Even when I'm not asking any questions, I'm just sitting kind of listening to the conversations. I definitely get a lot of value out of that, too. So, AJ, how about you?
Well, I mean, I think the question you asked was about fun. So, I mean, the party at Tao is always a fun time when we go to Success Connect at the Venetian. Where else can you drink a beer next to a person who's dancing the night away in a monkey costume? You know, it's... How do you explain that to anyone else who wasn't there? But I thought having the closing keynote wrap with TED Talks was brilliant because everyone by that point had heard all of our messaging. They had heard all of our talk. And the last thing you needed was another session of us talking about ourselves. And I think having some outside speakers and no celebrities, but people actually giving advice and sharing great stories and talking about personal improvement was really good. So I enjoyed that. Quite a bit because we tend to get into the rut some of these events of, you know, we just talk about ourselves or we'll bring in some celebrity who has nothing to do with anything that you do on a daily basis. And, you know, I thought that was good. But if I have to give my nerdy marketing answer, I think the most fun thing for me was watching the reaction to people who are seeing Jewel for the first time. You know, I think you had some great questions. You had some skepticism. You had a lot of excitement. And I'm still processing a lot of those questions that we got and trying to go through because it's going to actually shape what we're doing with the product and what we're doing with the messaging and how we're going to present this to our customers. So for me, that was really important. That was, and it was fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. From a fun standpoint, and you know, I really enjoyed the whole cookie theme, right? I thought that was super cool because it was tied from the beginning, right? In the keynote showing the demo of the functionality. But then when you go to the showroom floor, it was there. And it explained, you know, in, I think, a way that anyone could kind of understand, right? Here's a business that's growing. How does this software help them? And how can it help them? And how can it help their growth? And then, you know, you also got a cookie at the end, which was actually really, really good. Did you all try the cookie?
I did not. I should admit that.
Openly. I absolutely tried the cookie every day that I visited the showroom.
Well, one of the things that I want to point out, too, is, you know, Imran and I are part of a team at SAP, at SuccessFactors, that does a lot of work around the content of Success Connect and does a lot of the planning and does a lot of all that. And just our brilliant team, I'm not going to take credit for it. It's not me. I wasn't involved in that. But the whole building of that scenario and that demo company was done by the solution marketing team. It's so impressive that they could take our products, put it into a scenario like that and come up with something that's engaging to people, that's fun. And so, I mean, it's really cool. And I can't take credit for any of that. It was not part of that process at all.
Yeah, me neither. And they did do a great job. I actually heard a couple people saying, like, is this a customer? They thought it was a real company. And the people were like looking it up and it wasn't, right? It was a fictional company.
It was a fictional company.
Cookie Delight, I think. Was
it? Yeah. And it's a great way of, you know, when we talk about all of the technology and things that go across the entire suite of showing how a business is impacted by the technology throughout the life cycle of an employee or the life cycle of the business. So exactly. It was really well done. And I think that's a good template for us to use for future events. But shout out to our team for all the work they did on that.
For sure.
I also like the way Amy Wilson did that in the keynote. So whenever she talks, she's very approachable and fun, and she takes kind of a light attitude to it all. So she made it fun because the person who was on the iPad who was playing the different roles of first the employee and then the manager, it was kind of like a wink, wink, nod, nod thing that made it fun to watch and kept us engaged.
Yeah, I joined it. I know you earlier mentioned having that into like snippets, right? The whole keynote. And I think that was kind of part of it, just having that little snippet of, you know, showing the Cookie Delight company and then, you know, once again, tying that back in. So, yeah, I enjoy that a lot, too. All right. Well, this was actually longer than I thought. We got in some good details, but I really enjoyed it. So thank you both for joining me. I appreciate your insight, and I thought it was great. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
All right. Bye.